In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.
Jesus said to his apostles, "For I have given you an example that you should also do as I have done to you." These words of our Lord at the Last Supper express the central truth of the sacred mysteries we celebrate during this holiest time of the liturgical year. Our Lord gives us an example that we are to replicate in ourselves. He gets down on his hands and his knees, and he does the dirty work of a slave by washing the feet of his disciples. He does this in the context of the first Mass, the Last Supper, in which he brings to fulfillment all that the Old Testament sacrifices represent, especially the Passover sacrifice. He is the lamb that is slain. Yet he lives and he feeds us with his own flesh that death may have no more power over us. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed, says St. Paul in the first letter to the Corinthians. This is the Easter mystery, or the Paschal mystery, meaning the Passover mystery. And it begins not on Easter Sunday, but today with the Mass of the Lord's Supper. We call what begins with this Mass the Easter Triduum, or the Paschal Triduum, 3 days on which we celebrate the same mystery in three separate acts, or three liturgical rites. Tonight, the Mass of the Lord's Supper. Tomorrow, the celebration of our Lord's Passion, and on Holy Saturday night, the Easter Vigil. We follow our Lord from the upper room to the cross, and then to the Garden of the Resurrection, where he offers himself in the upper room sacramentally, here on the altar tonight, on the cross in a bloody sacrifice tomorrow on Good Friday, and where in the Garden of the Resurrection on Easter Sunday, he brings his sacrifice to fulfillment and perfection by triumphing definitively over sin and death as he escapes under his own power from the bonds of death. This is the true Passover. It's what the Jews commemorated in their Passover, which we read about in the first reading. And the doors of our homes, that is, of our very souls, are marked with the blood of the Lamb. We are baptized into the death and resurrection of the Lord, and thus our souls are permanently marked with the blood of Christ. And the life we have received can only be sustained by eating the sacrificial lamb in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And this is why the church's custom is to baptize, to bring the catechumens in to the church at the Easter Vigil, where they receive baptism, they're baptized into the death and resurrection of the Lord. They're confirmed in that grace, and they're given the Eucharist for the first time. They participate fully in the sacrifice of the Mass and receive Holy Communion. And this is why the words of our Lord, "For I have given you an example that you should also do as I have done to you," directly correspond to the command he gave the apostles also at the Last Supper, "Do this in remembrance of me." In the very words of institution, in our Lord's very words, repeated at the end of the double consecration of the bread and wine in every Mass, our Lord expresses his intention, his command, that the church preserve this memory so that we might be able to do as he has done. In saying these words on the night before he died, "Do this in remembrance of me," our Lord instituted the sacraments of holy orders and of the Eucharist. He commanded the apostles to celebrate in perpetuity this paschal sacrifice. And he did it before he died on the cross, and thus before he rose from the dead, because his sacrifice, consummated on Good Friday, has a divine and eternal reality and power. And he wanted us to live this eternal mystery in the concrete moments of history. So when our Lord says, "Do this in memory of me," when he says that he is leaving us an example so that we might do as he has done, It is not matter simply of recalling a past event. His example is not just a static memory that we retrieve from the written page of the gospel or from the recollection of the church. It is a living memory because Christ is the Word of the Father, and he has come to live with us, and he will not leave us. He will not abandon us as he's promised. He will be with us until the end of time. Through the sacramental celebration of this sacrifice, through the words of the Word, repeated by the priest, this is my body, this is my blood, the bread and wine are transformed into the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. Remember that it is also in the context of the first Mass that our Lord delivers the parable of the vine and the branches. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And then, just a few verses later in the Gospel of St. John, he says that his commandment is that we love one another as he has loved us. He loves us from the cross. That is his example. That is the living memory. That is why he gets down at the Last Supper on his hands and knees and serves his servants like he was their slave. And this is what the priest does when he fulfills our Lord's command to offer in his name the great sacrifice and sacrament of our salvation. And this is why, in order to follow his example, we must consume the sacrifice, we must eat of the Lamb, we must receive worthily and fruitfully the sacrament of the Eucharist and Holy Communion. Because Jesus' example is not just in the past, nor is it something merely outside of us. By participating in this sacrament and sacrifice, which we are enabled to do by virtue of being baptized into the death and resurrection of the Lord, and which we accomplish by our worthy and fruitful reception of Holy Communion, we become ever more fruitful branches on the vine that is Christ. He comes to live and act through us. Our worship through the sacred liturgy, especially in these Paschal celebrations, is not something we simply do out of obedience to Christ, although we do it out of obedience to Christ. It is not something we merely do with him or for him. It is something we do in and through him, or better, that he does in and through us, because he is the one, he's the high priest that offers this sacrifice. And he comes down onto our altars, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and he feeds us with himself. He is both priest and victim, and by consuming the sacrifice, by eating of his body and blood, we are being transformed into him and being prepared in both body and soul for our own resurrection on the last day. In the sacred liturgy, heaven invades earth, eternity intersects with the concrete moment in which we are living now. Christ rides into each moment of history on his white horse, his eyes blazing as in the apocalypse, with a two-edged sword coming from his mouth, and he says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." So we celebrate these Easter mysteries today, at this moment, with all the prayers, works, joys, and sorrows that are particular to each one of us. And the grace of our baptism to live in and through the death and resurrection of the Lord is lived out in the very real and practical sacrifices that are peculiar to our own personal vocations, to our strengths, and our weaknesses, to our family situations, our job circumstances, and the circumstances present right now in the church and in the world. Perhaps the thing that we can remember this Holy Thursday from the example of our Lord, who washed the feet of his disciples at the Last Supper, is that we are not called to imitate a far-off example, but to live the life of the one who has shared everything with us, including his own flesh and blood. The holy sacrifice of the Mass continues to be celebrated at each moment of the day, every day throughout the world, because Christ is the Lord of history, and he wants nothing, not even the apocalypse, to prevent us from living our faith in him. This is something that we must remember. We are not called merely to live like him or to work for him. If that is what we're doing, if we're just living like him and for him, or if that's what we're trying to do, then we have every reason to lose hope, because we would be like branches cut off from the vine and replanted next to it. But that is not what the Christian life is. It is not really true, or at least not precise, to say that if we do our part, God will do his. I know I've said that a million times. If we do our part, God will do his. But it's not exactly true, or at least it's not precise. Protestants don't like that phrase, because they say that God does everything and we do nothing. But Catholics shouldn't be comfortable with it either, for different reasons. The reality of our incorporation into Christ through the Paschal mystery means we do everything because we are truly free, but only as long as Christ does everything in us. For without him, we can do nothing, as our Lord tells us in the parable of the vine and the branches. Or as St. Paul says in the letter to the Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If all we are doing is working for Christ, and he is not working in and through us, then we are not really working for Christ at all. If we're not inspired by his Spirit in how we live and in what we say and do, if our actions do not flow from the divine life within us, if they do not conform to his teachings, then no matter how much we imagine ourselves to be his followers, we are rather subject to his wrathful words, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. At the very end of this special celebration of the Holy Sacrifice, we will proceed, so to speak, from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. The tabernacle at the altar of sacrifice is, as you can see, now empty, because this is the Last Supper, and the Eucharist is made present, so to speak, for the first time in this celebration. And then after Mass, the altar will be stripped, our Lord will be brought to the altar of repose, which in a way, you know, represents the Garden of Gethsemane. And there we'll have an opportunity to remain in sleepless vigil with Jesus in his agony. The apostles, remember, slept after their first Holy Communion. Tradition tells us that our Lord's most worthy disciple, his own mother, Our Lady, was not present in the upper room for the Last Supper, but was nearby and was given Holy Communion there. Some mystics say she was communicated through the ministry of angels. We really don't know. What we do know is that her communion with Jesus, her sacramental reception of Holy Communion, strengthened her immaculate solidarity with the suffering servant, her son. Our Lady did not sleep after her first Holy Communion. One mystic says that Jesus remained with her sacramentally all through the sacred triduum. There's been saints that have been like living tabernacles. Saint Anthony Marie Claret is said to have been a living tabernacle where Jesus in the Eucharist remained present in his body after he received Holy Communion. And from one communion to the next, our Lord would always be there. Well, this mystic says that when Jesus died, he remained in her breast as in the sepulcher. And when he rose from the tomb, he rose also from her as the sacramental species was finally dissolved. Of course, this isn't church teaching. It's not part of divine revelation of the deposit of faith. It's a theological proposal, and it's plausible. But it illustrates something that is a fact. Our Lady, who is the image and perfection of the church and the hope of every follower of Jesus, lived this mystery, and she did this as Jesus had done, because he lived and acted through her. Above all those who cooperate with Jesus, Our Lady is co-redemptrix of the human race, the one who offers with Jesus the one sacrifice that is universally efficacious for the salvation of souls. Her reception of Holy Communion is important for the whole church because her active and exemplary presence in the church teaches us from inside, from within our souls, because she's the mediatrix of all grace, what it really means to do what the Lord has done to us. Pope Francis would want us to remember this evening that the Paschal Mystery is about the mercy of God. And he would not want us to forget that when we offer this sacrifice and partake of the sacred banquet, we are called to put ourselves in the service of those whom he served, that is, the poor. Without Christ, we are nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. And all of us, the whole of humanity, are in need of God's mercy. This morning at the Chrism Mass in Rome, the Holy Father reminded the priests of his diocese that they are the poor serving the poor, who have nothing of their own to give and nothing at all to give unless they themselves are full of the presence of Christ. He said this, "I do not think it is an exaggeration to say that the priest is very little indeed. The incomparable grandeur of the gift granted us for the ministry sets us among the least of men. The priest is the poorest of men unless Jesus enriches him by his poverty. The most useless of servants unless Jesus calls him his friend. The most ignorant of men unless Jesus patiently teaches him as he did Peter. The frailest of Christians unless the good shepherd strengthens him in the midst of the flock. No one is more little than a priest left to his own devices. And so our prayer of protection against every snare of the evil one is the prayer of our mother. I am a priest because he has regarded my littleness. And in that littleness, we find our joy." So please don't forget to pray for your poor priests, that they might have this joy in order that they may become ever more capable of bringing Jesus to souls. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Let us not sleep after our Holy Communion, but remain in solidarity with Jesus through Mary, who dwells within us and offers himself for the salvation of all in this awesome Paschal mystery. Praise be Jesus and Mary.